When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Welcome back to another episode of Habs Nightly, folks. Always joined by the wonderful Mason Dixon, sitting in his computer desk at Algonquin College, probably, or university, whatever it's called. Mason, how are you, bud?
I'm all right. Pretty busy weekend for me. I spent Saturday in a hungover coma. Got out of bed at 5 p.m., didn't accomplish much. Been working all day to catch up, but I'm okay. How are you?
Doing okay. It's my mom's birthday, but unfortunately, me and my wife had to work. And I'm still dealing with a broken toe, a fucked up back, and I worked this morning's Saints game. So when I came home, I was walking like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I went and saw my mom, and she was like, "God damn, you want to go lay down?" I was like, "Absolutely. I'll come back and see you in a little bit." But I'm okay, ready to knock this episode out the park and hopefully get back to bed, because I have another like fucking 8 days before I have a day off. So bit busy. It went from I am sitting around in my underwear for 10 months to having one day off in the past 3 weeks. But I'm okay.
Well, I don't know how we segue from here, but
there's some hard segue.
There's some hockey that happened.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't end up going the way we wanted it. We kind of knew the Islanders was going to be a tough game, and they got the best of us, especially after I was expecting a solid performance from the Habs after a really good night two nights previous against Detroit. I guess some
takeaways. Saying they got the best of us is kind of a
I think Brock Nelson got the best of us.
Maybe a bit of an overstatement. I don't think any team has seen the best of the Habs this year. I think this team's played like shit. Mm-hmm. And say what you want. Like, we're so far into the season, it's fair to say it's a lack of talent, but the amount of underperformers on this team is staggering. But I think the biggest underperformance of anyone associated with this team has been Jeff Molson and his inability to take action. And, you know, by taking action, I mean by firing Mark Bergevin, because that loss against the Vegas Golden Knights, that's a backbreaker. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing Chicago firing their head coach and making these moves. And I think Montreal's got, honestly, the records say otherwise. I think Montreal's start has been far worse. There was a lot higher expectations in Montreal. Mm-hmm. It's just time to go. Like, it's time to move on. And honestly, this team could go on and win a bunch of games, and they could play above 500 hockey for the rest of the season, and I'll be happy and I'll cheer them on, but I will not be satisfied until Mark Bergevin is no longer associated with this organization. That's the point I've reached.
Jesus. that's fair enough. Yeah. Things need to change, and fortunate for Dom Ducharme, he hasn't had much time. So we look higher to a guy who's had, what, 12 years now?
10 years.
10 years. Yeah.
And let alone let's Trevor Timmons, who drafted Carey Price. Mm-hmm. 2005, it was 3 years old.
That is insane. 2005. I was 13. Holy shit. I was 13 stuck in Texas because of Hurricane Katrina. And you were just big chilling at your house.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's got to be one of the longer tenured GMs of right now. You know, maybe not in like all of hockey, but.
Well, he's the assistant. The other thing is, you know, everyone looks at Trevor Timmons of scouting. I think Trevor Timmons has done well drafting players, but where Montreal has failed is developing said players. And at some point you have to look at this team and you say, what kind of success have we had in developing players, in drafting players, and just in sort of any on ice success?
Right.
And, you know, you see Trevor Timmons, who I've given a lot of praise to in the past. You know what? These last few years, the last 10 years, let's say, the guy's fumbled 2 third overall selections. He approved, you know, a lot of blame goes to Marc Bergevin. And I don't think we've talked about it enough because I think it's just distasteful and we don't want to. The Logan Milleau selection, I have my own issues with some people crucifying someone who was 16 years old at the time of the awful thing he did. We've talked about this. I don't think he's a serial killer, and I don't think he deserves to have his entire life taken away. But what I do know is that he specifically asked teams not to draft him. And we can make the excuse and say other teams would have drafted him. Yeah, I'm sure other teams would have drafted him. But the Montreal Canadiens did not need to be that team.
Took him first, took him like 40 players before he was even marked.
Well, that and here's the thing. Logan Milleau was a projected first-round talent. But he wasn't a top 10. Like, he wasn't he's not some transcendent skater either. And it shouldn't matter regardless. He asked not to be drafted.
And we were like, oh, let's have a heart. And give this kid, you know, no chance at redemption.
Yeah, and that's – I don't even want to focus on that, but my point being in bringing that up, Trevor Timmons had to have had a big voice in that selection. Mm-hmm. So that's 2 third overall picks. That's the Logan Milleau incident. Let's not even talk about the countless other draft picks that haven't panned out in the first round. Michael McCarron, who – Trevor Timmons was a big advocate for Nikita Scherbak, Noah Juulsen, injuries, yes, but you know, still we didn't develop him.
Yep,
we moved on from Mikhail Sergachev too quickly. How many more? Who did we draft in 2017? Paling. What is Paling doing?
Fighting to get here,
and gets demoted every time he gets a chance because they put him on the fourth line. Like the amount of first round talent that has been wasted by the Montreal Canadiens it's gross. And honestly, I feel like the players that have succeeded in spite of the player development from Montreal. Look at what we saw with Lehkonen. When Lehkonen burst onto the league, this is a guy that broke Daniel Alfredson's scoring records in the Swedish league for rookie players. Okay. Arturi Lehkonen was a scorer and he was supposed to be a sniper. And look what he's become, a very, very quality NHL player, but he can't put the puck in the back of the net to save his life. Do you know how many goals he scored his rookie season?
Not off the top of my head, sorry.
18 in a fourth line role. That doesn't project to be a player he hasn't gotten close to that since. I think his next best is, I believe, 12 in 82 games. And we were talking about one of who looked to be a perennial 20-25 goal scorer for this club. He hasn't done it since. Cole Caulfield is another great example of a player that broke onto this team, played very well. One training camp later, look at the struggles he's got off to, not only in Montreal, but in Laval, in which he didn't look great his first game, and so far a period and a half into his second game in Utica, he's not looking great either. Oh, Alexander Romanov has looked phenomenal these last few games, but I think it's fair to say as the season progressed last season, I actually thought he got worse. This team cannot develop players. And I saw, what was the stat? With Price out, there were only three players Montreal had drafted that are on this team right now. And that's Brendan Gallagher, Arturi Lehkonen, and Jake Evans. Now, Lehkonen and Evans are both... Evans is a success story. That's a seventh-round guy who you're going to plug into your bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
Lehkonen, I would argue, is a failure. And Carey Price is Carey Price. Now, when you talk about teams that have been successful in this league, look at Tampa. Look how many players that they have drafted that have gotten and made an impact in their organization. Braden Point is still on one of the friendliest deals in the league. I believe he makes $4 million. Because they grew him, they developed him, he became the amazing player he is. So I think, you know, you can point the blame at one player in this person in this organization if you want to. I think that's misguided. I think that's misjudged. I look at the entire management level, top to bottom, and I think the entire management staff, the head office in Montreal needs to be cleared. Montreal needs to hire a president of hockey operations who is going to come in there and absolutely clean house. And I don't care. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of Ducharme right now. I don't care if Ducharme stays for the time being, because you can run through as many coaches as you want to. It's not going to fix the fact that this organization has a problem at the very, very top, at a foundational level. And that doesn't just mean Trevor Timmins and Mark Bergevin. It means Rob Ramage of player development. It means the scouting department. Like, all of them.
Right.
Clean house. Start over. Because what you're doing is not working. And the definition of insanity is continually repeating the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And that is what Jeff Molson is doing every single year. He lets Mark Bergevin and his company of friends run it back over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Now, I got apologize any... for the rant. Holy fuck. Like, how can we see it and a billionaire can't?
Yeah. You got any do you have any wishes? Maybe a coach or a GM you'd like to see inserted?
I don't care. I really don't care.
I don't care.
Like, if Peter Chiarelli comes in, I'm going to cry. Okay.
Understandable.
But what this, and we can talk about the language debate all you want. Let's not kid ourselves. It's going to be a fucking French speaking person. And there's not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just, I believe there are better English candidates out there right now.
Right.
And if there is, if it comes down to an Anglophone and a Francophone, I'm not going to say pick the Anglophone. I'm going to say pick whoever the fuck can do the best job.
Whoever's going to elevate this team.
It's not going to go that way. But honestly, I just want whoever can make this organization competitive again. I am willing, and I don't know how many times we've said this, Corey, I am so willing to go through pain. And I remember when Mark Bergevin talked about the retool, those seasons were painful, but I got through them because he said, we're going to build with Nick Suzuki. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to retool. And in a couple, 3 to 4 years, we're going to make a run. And you know what? We made a run. We did. But Bergevin preached that we would make those runs with Weber, Price, and the young core that he drafted. Well, the young core you drafted, the main piece of that young core, you fumbled. And he is now playing on the first line out of position on Sebastian Aho's left wing. And what the compensation you received for that has put up a grand total of, I believe, 5 points. And we paid a first and a second to get him. And I have no problem with Christian Dvorak as a player. But that he's not, that's not Jesperi Kotkaniemi. And we're not winning. And you look at other players he's drafted in that time span, okay? from 2017 to 2021. Jake Evans was drafted beforehand. So Alexander Romanov is on the team. Is there anyone else? No.
On the Canadians, it's just Romanov.
You've drafted one player in 2021, Logan Milleau, who is never going to play for this team. I don't care what you say. You say you may have a plan. Bergevin, you're not going to be here long enough. Like that kid, that kid is never going to play pro hockey in the NHL. And whether or not you think that's right or wrong, that's a discussion that I just honestly don't want to have right now. But what I can tell you is he won't play in the NHL. And if he does, it'll be a miracle. And that's just not a chance you should be willing to take when you want to compete right now. That is a project player regardless. Let's take away all the off-ice issues. Logan Milleau was always going to be a project.
Mm-hmm.
Caden Gooley, you know, I think is could work out, but he's not going to play in the NHL for a little while. You couldn't convince Jordan Harris to sign. And if the team keeps playing like this, he might walk away.
Yeah.
That's one of your best puck moving defensemen. That's one of your best prospects in general. Caden Primo's still in Laval because you've kept Carey Price and he's in front of him. Like as long as Price is here, Primo won't play. It's another fucking Zach Fucali, Michael McNiven situation. And the only other player who realistically has a chance of playing on this team that you've drafted is Ryan Poehling, and he's stuck in Laval because you shelter him in a fourth line role with plugs and expect him to create offense. So I could live through those years when I thought there was a plan.
Yeah, this plan is we're looking at players we've been excited about, and you just know they're never going to pan out here.
And we're watching them pan out at other places.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how excited I was for Mikhail Sergachev?
Yeah, I was too.
And you know what? You traded him for Drouin. We lost that deal. It's fair to say now. Drouin's played amazingly. We did lose it.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, I don't care if Drouin plays is a better player now for the next 5 years. Tampa won two cups. Okay, they won that deal. But like what I'm saying is I was willing to go through that pain when that was the plan and it looked optimistic. But you wanted to compete this year. You signed David Savard and Mike Hoffman in the offseason. You gave away our 21-year-old third overall pick centerman for a 25-year-old who's good at faceoffs because you wanted to win. You wanted to replace Philip Deneau. But at the same time,
we could have just kept Deneau if this was the plan.
You let Philip Deneau walk. You let Thomas Tatar walk. You went into the season without Shea fucking Weber or Carey Price. What was your plan? Not if you want to be successful, you don't let the best 5-on-5 hockey team, or sorry, 5-on-5 line in the NHL in the last 3 years walk. You don't. Last year, do you know how many goals that Philip Deneau line allowed on 5-on-5 in the entire 56 games? Because this is a real stat. It's going to sound made up.
I'm going to say 22.
Philip Deneau, Brendan Gallagher, and Thomas Tatar during 5-on-5 play were scored on 3 times last season. When they were on the ice together, they were scored on 3 fucking times 5-on-5. And you might say, wow, like that's outlier season, shitty division. They were the best 5-on-5 line in goals for and goals against for 3 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to argue that sheltered role, they weren't providing. Philip Deneau's doing it again in LA.
Yep.
He's part of one of the top 5 lines in the NHL. He's playing with Alex Iafallo, and I can't even remember. They're not huge. Like, you let that guy go.
Yeah, and he's making – I don't want to call anybody an average player, but he's making players that are going to have big names because of Philip Deneau.
Alex Iafallo had good numbers previously.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that, like, it's not, how would you say it? It's not the,
worst, it's not that adding not him, is making him.
But Philip Deneau is making $5.5 million a year.
Which is, weak.
It's not, I don't know, but I don't think that's ridiculous.
That's not astronomical. I mean, no. It's actually, isn't, it's like less than what he wanted. I believe he wanted, you know,
Christian Dvorak,
the media said it was six, but I mean,
Christian Dvorak is making $4.4 million a year.
Mm-hmm. And we're like horrible on the face-off until
2025. Dvorak's amazing in the face-off, but my point is, you've saved $1 million.
Yeah, not much.
One player is clearly far better than the other.
The other part of the Deneau line is Adrian Kemp.
Yeah, who has been a solid, mediocre NHLer for a very long time. But he's no dynamo. And, like, I don't even – it seems like we're just babbling on and on and on because there's so many fucking moves that Mark Bergevin
– a lot of blunders.
Fucked up. Like, look at stats and you look at Christian Dvorak's season last year – and you say, oh, wow, that guy put the puck in the back of the net. Oh, he did this, did that, right? Like, I don't really care that Christian Dvorak scored 17 goals last year.
I would 17 take,
goals.
I'd take the nose slow start season that he had last year. There was nothing wrong with it if he was providing us from getting scored on constantly.
Philip Deneau was, you know, Philip Deneau scored 5 goals. He was on the ice for 3 goals against, so he's already a +2. Let's just assume that the rest of his line didn't score. Christian Dvorak scored 17 goals last year. Say what you want about plus minus. He was minus 11, and I say that only because I guarantee you Dvorak was on the ice for more goals scored against than he was for goals scored for.
Right.
And at the end of the day, putting the puck in the back of the net is more flashy. But as Dave Poulin always said about Philip Deneau, say what you want about him, he's a 30-goal scorer because he might score 10, but he'll keep 20 out of the net. And you don't win. You don't win by scoring by number of goals scored. You win by, did you score more than the other team? And if you can stop them from scoring, you can win. So to wrap this whole fucking tirade up, because I've gone on and on and on here, what I'm saying is I don't care if Montreal wins 5 more games this season. It'll be painful. But if Montreal wins five more games this season, and I have to put my trust and my faith into Mark Bergevin to use those draft picks and to clean up this mess, I am going to continue to get more and more frustrated. We are 12 games in, and this is the point that I'm at. It's an 82-game season this year. But if this team goes on to get 38 points, which is what they're on pace for, think about that, 38. If this team goes on to get 38 points, but we have a new GM with a new plan, and he's got all these assets that, you know, he's already got a top 3 pick. And he has Nick Suzuki coming into this deal of a contract at 22 years of age, who looks like he's going to be a stud. He's got Alexander Romanov. He's got Jordan Harris. He's got players like Mike Hoffman, Toffoli, Carey Price, who he can trade to get more assets for. Well, that sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I can live through that. But I cannot, I will not, as a fan, support this organization if they're going to keep feeding me the same bullshit. Because I, you know what? We deserve better. We deserve better than this. We, like, talk about Habs fans are too impatient. I think we've been patient enough with Mark Bergevin. 10 fucking years. That's more than half my life. This piece of shit has had this organization going down the fucking garbage bin. I think I've been patient enough with Mark Bergevin. I'll acknowledge he's had his successes. But you don't date a girl that brings you this much pain. You don't bash your head against the wall over and over again, expecting it not to hurt. And you don't continue to employ a general manager who continues to not give you any success.
Right.
Because how many times have we said it, Corey? This team doesn't measure success in playoff appearances or second round appearances.
You gotta win.
Yeah, not even in cup finals. You gotta win. And you know, I'm looking at a calendar and we haven't won since 1993. There's been no success. This city deserves better. These fans deserve better. And honestly, these players deserve better, because I cannot stomach watching this organization ruin more young hockey players' careers. And as long as Mark Bergevin and Trevor Timmins and his fucking bicep crew are at the fucking top of this organization, it will be the same mediocre bullshit year in, year out.
That's fair. I was actually looking up to see what was our worst season as far as final points. Excuse me. I am literally about to sneeze. Excuse me. In the 82 game era. And it's looking like 2000 and 2001, we had 70 points with 28 wins, 40 losses. And I don't even think we're going to fucking get close to that. And that was with Vigneault and Therrien. So, Lord. Well,
I mean, Montreal finished in what place? 28th in the NHL. And drafted Jesperi Kotkaniemi in 2017-18, right?
Mm-hmm.
That team had – how many points did that team have?
71. One more than the 01 season.
This team is on pace for 38. Like – oh my God, that's so close to being half.
It's disgusting.
It's brutal. And you look at the goaltending this team has had. Jake Allen is not, like, if Jake Allen isn't on this team, consider this. Montreal has won one game where Allen let in a goal. Outside of one game out of 13, if Allen lets in a goal, this team loses. The goalie, except for one outlier against Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against another team that is horrible, it's taken Allen to be perfect. Like, I just, fuck, man. It's painful.
Well, I know this is going to upset you, but I was looking at the stats to see what was our worst season in the 82 game era. Hockey References added the all-time top 12 players, which I believe is based off of points per season, I believe it is. And Andre Markov is sitting at 9th overall, not as like the all-time top, like best players ever. But I was surprised to see such a current player, you know, not current as in playing with us today, but
yeah,
such a close one, you know.
Mark Bergevin let him walk away pretty ceremoniously, didn't he? Do you want some real perspective?
I knew it was coming. I was like, man, I kind of want to bring it up, but I know he's going to fucking lose it.
Do you want some perspective, though?
Yeah.
The last time Montreal finished the season under 50 points. Under 50 points. Was 19-41-42.
Mm-hmm.
They had 39 points and they played 48 games. If you want to go back to the last time they finished with 38, which is what they are on pace for, it was the year before, 1940-41.
Nope.
World War II, in which Montreal had 38 points in 48 games. They played just over half the amount of games and still finished with 38 points. This season Montreal is on pace for is not only going to be one of the worst seasons in Montreal Canadiens history, if not the, it will be the worst.
No, it is. I've scrolled. It's.
It will be one of the worst in the entire history of the National Hockey League. We're talking Detroit a few years ago bad, like Colorado a few years ago bad. And you know what the worst part is? In both those instances, those teams drafted fourth.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen what Bergevin can do with a third overall pick. What the fuck do you think he's going to do with a fourth?
Right. But even if we, you know, have the worst season in the world, don't we forfeit our first pick?
No, oh, it's Carolina. Top 10. It's top 10 protected. Oh, trust me, it's going to be top 10. It's protected. They're getting that Carolina pick. But regardless, like, what the fuck does Christian – let's
– Yeah.
I'm just saying, could you imagine this team goes on a run? Consider that. They don't finish with 38 points, and they get the 11th overall pick, and that goes to Arizona. Could you imagine –
I like wouldn't be surprised if it happens.
This team is headed nowhere so quickly.
Well, look, I want to segue into a little bit of positivity. I know we brought him up a second ago about Nick Suzuki, but before we do, we have a word from our sponsors over at DraftKings. The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That can be kind of tough. Doesn't matter if it's one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal this week. One puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. I'm so used to it being football. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, a minimum $5 deposit, the $1 wager, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. For details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I kind of fumbled that one up a little bit. Need a little water. Don't have any. But, yeah, dude, you know, I noticed, you know, obviously, amongst the turmoil that's going on with this season, Nick Suzuki has really kind of found where his rhythm is so far. And I hope if any positive – comes from this season is that Nick Suzuki can shine in, you know, in the depths of hell that where, you know, where the Habs are sitting right now.
Suzuki's played amazingly. He has, I believe I tweeted it out. I think it's 12 points his last 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 12 points in 13 games, on pace for 75 points this year. the kid's a stud, and he's, I think, succeeding in spite of the fact that this team is fumbling.
Yeah, that's 3 goals, 9 assists. Yeah, post it.
And Romanov has looked amazing. He played 14 minutes, I think, in that loss to Vegas. Should have played 25.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was our best defenseman on the ice. Bar none. Was joining the rush, playing well. And you know what? I think that's in spite of what Stu Sharms told him to do. So I think it's just frustrating because we're watching our young guys try to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching is clearly not helping them.
I'm just a little upset that, you know, like, I mean, I'm all aboard Nick Suzuki, you know, elevating his game and finding it even when the team is so at a loss. But Cole Caulfield should be up there with him, even if it's not on his line. He deserves to get as many chances as we've given Nick Suzuki to find his game. And well, you know, after your rant, you know, it just really – it hits home. Like, this kid, you know, we thought that you sent him to the AHL – and granted, he's only played, what, 2 games now, maybe 3. Not much elevation, you know, not much, you know, we don't think he's going to, you know, learn a lot from there. We were just hoping that he'd go there and he'd get a lot of minutes, kind of, you know, dominate and then be ready to come back up. But it doesn't look like it's the case. And therefore, I think that it's kind of it was a shitty dump off. Like, now this kid's in the AHL. Still looking for his rhythm, where he should be looking for his rhythm with the team that he deserves to be on. Like, this last – the 10 games he played and then into the playoffs was – should have unlocked his quest as far as, you know, not having to go back to the AHL.
At what teams who actually know how to develop young players have done in this season alone. Look at Detroit.
I'm actually watching a Moritz Seider. I'm sorry. My fucking cat. I'm actually watching some Detroit Red Wings highlights right now. That Moritz Seider kid's unreal.
Well, and that's my point. Everyone, Moritz Seider's great in fantasy right now. He's got 10, 11 points in however many games. He's almost a point a game player. Now, if you've just watched Moritz Seider against Montreal, I think this point will resonate with you. I think you'll understand what I'm trying to say. And if you've watched more games, you'll definitely get it. Moritz Seider has put up a lot of points. He's not a good defender. Like, he's going to be one of the premier defensemen in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But
offensively.
But yeah, even alone in Montreal, he gets beat. Like, you can say, oh, Anderson beat him those couple times because he's fast. The guy gets beat on the outside a lot. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot. He's not great defensively, but clearly the coach isn't telling him to fix that in what sacrifice of his offense.
Yeah.
He's saying, go out there, play. We'll work on that. You'll get better. But they're not making him lose confidence. Lucas Raymond, another player on that team, has played amazing. Look at Ottawa. Ottawa's not a good hockey team, but they put up points. And I said it at the start of the year, they're going to lose games 5-4, 6-5, but they're going to score.
And they're speed lining all their rookie talent. Like,
and let me tell you, it's a lot easier to figure out defense than it is to figure out defense than offense.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to – a good offensive player can become a good defender. If you take away a player's confidence, they're not going to – like, look at Lehkonen, for example, or Amia. Right now, they can't shoot. Dvorak, same way. Let them go out there and let them figure out the defensive part of the game later. But you look at Montreal, Romanov's on the third pairing. The commentators, you know, take your pick. Gary Galley, Dave Poulin, Mike Johnson, none of them can figure out why this kid's not playing more. Cole Caulfield, he struggled, yeah. You should have just kept putting him out there and he would have figured it out. But what you're doing is you're trying to turn players into something they're not. You're trying to turn them into third line grindy veterans who care about defense. And I'm sorry, but I don't want Caulfield. I don't want his first priority to be back checking or fucking keeping his stick in the right lane. I want his first priority and his second priority and his third priority to be scoring goals, and then he can worry about defense.
I mean, but what's really – what's unreal about that is that he's not bad. He's a pretty solid two-way two-way forward.
Well, you know the best way to defend? Don't have the puck in your end. If you're scoring goals, they're not scoring goals.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not an NHL coach, but I can figure that out. Like that's the problem with this team. They don't know what they are. How the fuck is Ducharme supposed to know? And I'm not defending him here, but what's he supposed to know? Like what the identity of this team is.
There is no identity.
On one hand,
this team is like.
That's the point. Are they rebuilding? Are they competing? Does anyone know? Do the players know? Because I bet you Carey Price would say, I want a Stanley Cup. I bet Nick Suzuki would say, I want to see if I can score 30 goals this year. The priorities are different. And I think they're different in management among different management members. I think the coaching staff doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Jesus, the cat just jumped up on the table. No. It's ridiculous, but there's a bit of it. I think it's a little too early to say a light at the end of the tunnel, but Carey Price has rejoined the Montreal Canadiens. You know, there's still no timetable as far as when he will be back on ice with the boys in a game. But it is good to see that name popping back up. But it's also coming with the backlash of people wanting an explanation, almost blaming this slow start on him. And I think that is why Carey Price needed this time off, is because of how the fans just depict that, you know, he's supposed to be our savior, you know, when we're not scoring. Because that's the problem, obviously. But, you know, instead of people being like this, it's kind of torn. You know, you see like Habs Twitter, you got like half the population is super excited to just even hear Carey Price's updated status. And then you get all the fucking backlash of people saying, oh, well, you know, thank God, because, you know, it's his fault that we're 3-9. Damn, I guess I wanted that to be good news, and now I've guessed you've fueled my aggravation with your rant earlier, and now I'm just upset again. But there's really, you know, it really feels like there's no end in sight. You know, this 38 point season that, you know, we're predicted to run is, it seems really, really probable. Even with the likes of Carey Price coming back, I don't think you can insert Carey Price and, you know, whoever thinks that just because of that, that's not changing things. That's not just because you insert him, he's not coming back to turn this into a 500 game season. I just don't know, Mason.
I don't think anyone in this organization knows. And I don't think we as like I said, I think it all sum it all up.
It's funny when the keyboard cowboys, you know, like, I don't think we're as bad, but like people like us are like, normally we have all the answers, you know, we got all the things that they're doing wrong or things they haven't seen. We're kind of all in the same bus of like, no, you kind of got to let this fire burn out and then rebuild. Like, this is, it's just ugly. And then,
well, I think the difference is we're not sitting here pretending to know that we like have all the answers to say that we know what you need to do to fix this team and that you should make this move and that move and draft this player and do that. We're saying we have eyeballs we have brains and something isn't fucking working here. It does. Like, I'm not pretending to be an NHL general manager. I'm not saying I could do Mark Bergevin's job better than him. I'm saying, as a member of a podcast, as a, you know, we're not, I wouldn't say we're mainstream media members, but we're media. We do this. We have opinions. Mm-hmm. Saying that there needs to be a change. I'm not saying what that change should be. I'm not saying what specific moves they should make. I'm saying Mark Bergevin clearly
has got to go. That's the first step in the right direction.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like when you say keyboard heroes or whatever you said. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sitting here typing a paragraph about how Mark Bergevin should have traded Max Pacioretty for this 4 years ago and what an idiot and blah, blah. Like, I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on the fact that Mark Bergevin hasn't done what his job entails. And at the end of the day, his job is to make this team successful enough to win a Stanley Cup. And I am not going to, like, we'll keep going back.
We're not dreaming. That's not happening right now.
Yeah. And say, you know, there's going to be hardcore fans who say, Mark Bergevin made the Cup final last year. How dare you? Like, dude. Look, I was just as happy.
We can all roll a dice and land a nat 20 every now and then.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Mark Bergevin didn't put us into the position to get there, because he did. But let's not kid ourselves. Carey Price got us to the Stanley Cup final last mm-hmm. year. On top of one of the best times, like, that was the best penalty kill I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's because they got hot on the penalty kill at the right time. Everything went perfectly. But if it's not clear to you that Mark Bergevin's plan from day one to now hasn't been to crawl into the playoffs and let Carey Price carry you there, then I don't know what to tell you, because it's so clear to me that that is his plan.
He doesn't have a plan. You know, he's just like, it's based on the back of Carey Price and when will the mule break, you know? Unreal. But no, I think it's time we get the petition started for the hashtag something clever with Bergevin. Bergevin wagon burning. I don't give a fuck. But we got a tough road ahead. I mean, on Tuesday, we've had quite a break, which is, I'm sure this team could really use it. We got a 3-day break, and then we're going – are we going – no, we're playing at home against L.A., which is I don't see Philip Deneau just really proving the epitome of this episode, especially his point.
I hope he scores a fucking hat trick.
They're going to dominate us. And then Thursday, we're going into Calgary. And I don't know. I think we talked outside of this. They got the hottest goalie in the fucking league right now in Markstrom. I don't see us. I don't see us really doing that great. And then it's so wild to think that our saving grace could be the Saturday game against Detroit, since it's the only team we've really found success around. So this is going to be a tough week for us, folks. Hopefully we can look at good things like, you know, the performance of Romanov and, you know, hopefully a continued streak with Nick Suzuki. But I don't see us having that much success coming up. I mean, Jesus, these next couple of games look brutal. But I think we've ranted enough today. Mason, do you have anything else to say before you leave?
I don't know. Fuck this team, man. Like,
Jesus.
Fuck this head office. I'm frustrated. I don't really have anything else to say. Like,
okay.
What else can you say?
No, we're just all watching from afar, you know, just it crumble around us. But next week, I do want to talk. I wanted to talk about it today, but we really got into a deep fucking rant about the Antti Raanta hit and what are our thoughts on it. I think we'll save that for next week. But folks, this is the end of today's episode. We want to thank y'all so much for listening and always listening to us. It's really awesome that you guys do that. There's at least like 500 of y'all now, and that's fucking beautiful, you know, to say the least, because we work really hard just to, you know, at first I think it was just to kind of, we just wanted to do something fun and talk about our favorite team. And now I feel like we get to do it for a lot of people that, you know, regardless if you like what we're saying or not, you're at least giving us a listen. And that means the fucking world to us. But as always, you can find us at Habs Nightly on Twitter and myself at Bayou Benders on Twitter. Also, I always love to shout out Canadians Aggregator. If you're on Twitter, that's Canadians AGGR. They really helped us when we first started. They're one of the best places, best sources for all Habs material. You can find our podcast along with many others on there. Also, if you guys want to leave us a 30 to 90 second clip telling us about whatever the fuck you want, we will feature it on the show, make it a topic. You can find that at www.speakpipe.com/Habs Nightly. And folks, this has been Habs Nightly. We'll see y'all next time. And good luck to this team.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.